Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
Those of you who haven't noticed yet, I am not Pastor Spencer. And if you've never been here before, I am not usually the one that preaches. So if you don't like it, come back because you'll like his. So anyway, Pastor Spencer does send his love and his greeting. He misses being with us this morning, but he is ministering at the Well Scottsboro as his dad is preaching in Tennessee. And so, anyway, he sends his love and his blessing. He loves being here. But we're going to jump right into the Word because that's just about all I know how to do anyway. And so I just want you to get ready. Open up your hearts. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to go into it. But as we pray, I'm actually going to pray a song. I'm not going to attempt to sing it because then you really wouldn't come back. Okay, so if you would just bow your heads, and we're going to get right into it. And I just say, welcome, Holy Spirit. We are in your presence. Fill us with your power and come live inside of us. Comforter and counselor, you're the living water, the never drying fountain. Welcome, Holy Spirit. Just fill this place. And I do welcome you, Holy Spirit. I welcome your presence, your anointing, your voice. You are the third part of the Godhead. You are God. Jesus, Father, we welcome you. We ask you to come. And I pray over every heart this morning that the word would fall forth on good ground. Because your word is always good. It's always fertile. It's always right. And it's always true. And so I pray over every heart this morning, including my own, that there be no blockade, that there be no distraction, that there would be no thorns. God, I pray that there would not be anything in our vessels, in our lives, in our minds, that hinder us from receiving the word of the Lord this morning. And I pray that you would make my tongue like the pen of a ready writer, ready to speak only what you would have to say. And I thank you for it, Lord. You are good. We bless your name. In Jesus' name, amen. And so this morning, the Lord's actually given me a word entitled, Fear Not, Only Fear. And the beginning of this word started stirring a few weeks ago as Pastor Spencer preached a message entitled, The Downfall of Discouragement. And as he read the scripture, it was Deuteronomy chapter 1, verses 19 through 33, and I'm not going to read that this morning. But it says, don't be discouraged, but it also says, don't fear. And so I began to ponder on that throughout the week, and I thought, you know, it's not just not being discouraged, but it's also not fearing. And so I begin to study the scripture and think about the scriptures that talk about not fearing. But I fear that a lot of times we allow fear to keep us ensnared, to keep us from reaching our destiny, from causing us to step out in faith, that keep us in bondage. Because he said, you haven't received the spirit of again to bondage whereby you cry, but you've received the spirit of adoption by which you cry, Abba, Father. And so he also says, I haven't given to you the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And you've heard it 1,000 times over and over again in the Bible. It says, do not fear, do not fear. And maybe you're saying this morning, I can't help but fear. Well, I'm going to give you three quick things because this is not where I'm landing to help you with that. Number one, you've got a generational curse of fear. If you've noticed a lot of fear in your family, I encourage you to break the generational curse by the blood of Jesus Christ, renounce it, and move on. If you say, well, that still didn't work, then I encourage you to command the spirit of fear to go by the blood of Jesus Christ, to leave you and to never return, and ask the Holy Spirit to fill you. And if you say, you know what, I've already done step one and two, well, then I would say, then you have a choice because he does not give a command where he does not not give the grace and the strength to obey. And the thing about him saying, do not fear, is that it's not an option. It is literally a command. And what God commands, he will give grace and strength to obey. So if you say you don't have a generational curse, if you tell me you don't have a spirit of fear, then what I would say to you is that you are choosing disobedience. And the thing is we don't see fear as being disobedience because we're not out getting drunk. We're not getting high. I'm just kind of scared to take a step of faith. Well, guess what? You're in sin. And it may not be being drunk, and it may not be getting high and riding on the top of Tahoes, right? Okay, maybe that's a little too wild for y'all. Maybe that's not what it is, but it's still disobedience to God. And here's the thing. And so many Christians use things like anxiety and fear and depression as an excuse to stay in sin. But the Bible literally says, if you love me, you will obey me. If you're not in obedience, don't tell me you love God. We've got people sleeping around and shacking up and doing all these things. And they want to tell me, God knows my heart. I love God. And to that, I would say, no, ma'am, no, sir. You are a liar, because the Bible says, if you love me, you will obey me. Well, maybe they would say, well, I don't know that. Then you don't love him, because if you love him, you want to know what he says. I don't know about you, but with whatever Spencer says, I want to know about it. Whatever Spencer's singing, I want to hear it. Whatever Spencer's doing, I want to know, because someone that you love and are intimate with, you want to know what they have to say about things, right? And so, the odd thing about fear is that we want to hold on to it. Isn't that weird? That we literally have to be talked out of not fearing. We want to hold it. It's a sort of weird comfort for us. It's like, well, what would I do without fear? What would I do if I wasn't scared? You'd live abundantly. Let's go to our main text in Joshua chapter 10. Then Joshua said, actually, let me tell you what's going on. They're in the middle of a battle. And the reason they're in this battle is because the Gibeonites tricked Israel, made a covenant with them. And so these Amorite kings, they're mad that the Gibeonites have signed a treaty with Israel, and now they're nervous about it. And so they all get together and they're like, well, let's go attack the Gibeonites now. And the Gibeonites call to Israel and they say, come help us. And so Joshua goes, and this is the story where the sun stands still. And it's also the story where the Bible says that hailstones killed more people than the actual soldiers did. I love when God does stuff like that. He's like, you think you got this? Boom, hailstones. Okay, see you later. Didn't have to kill that guy. Hailstone got him. And anyway, and these five kings that collaborated together to have this mighty battle against Israel, all of a sudden, they tuck tail and run because they see that they're defeated. And you know what? They're out of their league. Something has showed up unexpected. You know what? When they were sitting around making those battle plans, you know one thing they couldn't put in there? All right, what do we do if God starts raining hailstones? We could do umbrellas. Okay, that wouldn't work. What if we made the umbrellas out of bark? Okay, I think they could get through that. Umbrellas of steel. No, they didn't have a battle plan for the thing that God was going to do, right? But now they are being defeated, and so they begin to leave their soldiers, and they tuck tail and run, and they run and they hide in this cave. This is going to get good. And Joshua said, open the mouth of the cave and bring out those five kings to me from the cave. And they did so. And they brought out the five kings and names all of their names. So it was in verse 24, when they brought out those kings to Joshua, that Joshua called for all the men of Israel and said to the captains of the men of war who went with him, come near, put your feet on the necks of those kings. And they drew near and they put their feet on their necks. Then Joshua said to them, do not be afraid, nor be discouraged. Be strong and of good courage, for thus the Lord will do to all your enemies against whom you fight. And then Joshua struck them all, and guess what? He threw them in the cave that they had been hiding in. And here's what's so good. Amorites, I looked it up, and sometimes it says babblers. It means talkers. It means rebel. It means bitter. So the Amorites were what I would like to call big mouths. Have you ever met somebody like that? All bark and no bite. And they're all going up. They're going to get together and fight. But then they talk, right? Then they start getting whooped. And they tuck tail and start running. That's what you call a big mouth. Well, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And then all of it, you think they're this mighty person. Then all of a sudden, something bad happens. Hard circumstance. Whoop. Oh, no, I'm going into that cave. Wait, I thought you were a mighty man of God, mighty woman of God. There's one story that I love. It talks about one of David's mighty men, and I think it was Shamgar. And he stood, it said, everybody left, but he stood in this field of lentils, and he held his ground, and he slayed them all. I love that. There's no backing down, but the Amorites, they were big mouths. And let me tell you about fear. Fear is a big mouth, and it's about time for the church, and I believe this is the season. I believe this is the word of the Lord with all my heart, that for too long, we as the church, we've either just sat down and done nothing, or we've been tucking tail and running, and the Lord's saying, it's not time for that anymore. It's time to start putting your feet on the neck of the enemy, what the enemy is doing out there. It's time to start getting out there and bringing them in and getting people set free and healed and delivered. It is still for today. And it's time for us. You're saying, well, that sounds real good. Yeah, that's exciting. No, I'm talking to you. It's time for us as the people of God to arise and shine, for the light has come. Because it's the time. It's not time to let a hard situation, a circumstance, or a frustration cause us to get out of the will of God, out of the word of God, or out of the thought of God. And how we do that is by not meditating on, not giving into fear. Because he said, don't fear, but he said, come here. And here's the interesting thing. They literally have their feet on these five kings' necks. And he says, don't fear. Because the tendency is to go back to it. Because they're about to slay them. They're about to slay them and throw them in a cave. But guess what? The enemy's going to come back. He's going to come back. And you have the choice. Am I going to give in? Or am I going to defeat him? And what I'm trying to do this morning is I'm trying to stir you up. I'm trying to get you mad at the enemy that has kept you bound, that's kept you frustrated, that's kept you from reaching your potential, from reaching your destiny. Are you tired of letting the enemy keep you from your God-given destiny? Are you tired of keeping you from fellowship? Did you know that a lot of people don't go, we don't have Wednesday nights right now, but a lot of people don't go on Wednesday nights or don't come early or don't hang around because they're literally afraid of fellowship? They're like lizards, I've heard. They slide in and slide out. God didn't call you to be slimy. Okay, he called you to be sanctified. I'm just kidding. But fear keeps people from fellowship. It keeps you from growing. It keeps you from tithing. It keeps you from living life. Did you know sometimes we're afraid to grow because we're unsure what's he going to do? We're unsure. What's God going to do? What's God going to ask from me? What's he going to require? Or what's he going to change? But I really want to put some gas in your truck this morning. Because the Bible says, and see, some of you are like, okay, maybe I should. Yeah, that's good. I should get over that. Okay, I'm ready to fight the devil. Okay? But then you leave and you're like, I ain't got that anymore. Oh, Jesus, take the wheel. But I'm going to read you a scripture from Revelation 21:8. Revelation 21, verse 8. But the cowardly, or the fearful, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars will have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So what are you saying to me this morning? I'm only telling you what he has said. That the fearful, go to hell. And I'm warning you is what I'm doing. Because if we're living in fear, the Bible says we're going to hell. The fearful, the idolaters, anything you put before, anything you love, serve, give more time and devotion to than God, that's an idolater. Liars go to hell. I tell my sons that all the time. When they're like, did you eat that chocolate? No, ma'am, I didn't. Did you eat that chocolate? No, ma'am. Look here, son. Every liar goes to hell. You want to go to hell? Quit lying. Did you eat that chocolate? No, ma'am. Son, you're not getting the point. But the fearful go to hell. And you say to me, man, this is a old-timey word. Why are you talking about hell? Because Jesus preached more about hell almost than anything else. And the answer and the antidote to not living in fear is actually fearing. It's just a different type of fear, and I'm going to get into that in a minute. Oh, man, I need a time. Can you keep me up with a time? I don't have my phone up here. But the fearful go to hell. And so the reason I tell you that is to get some of the fear of the Lord in you that says, you know what? It's time. It's been keeping me back. It's been keeping me bound. It's been keeping me from doing things that God has told me to do. It's been keeping me from having good relationships. You know, sometimes we don't have the relationships we want to have because we're afraid. We're afraid to let our guard down. We're afraid to let our walls down. But let me tell you something. God created you for fellowship. It's part of why you were made. And don't let fear any longer keep you from thriving. Because I know deep down in every single person that you want to have true fellowship with other people. Nobody really wants to stay holed up in their home. And it's time for the church to say no to fear and stop making excuses. We've been playing patty cake and the devil's been running hell all over this nation. And it's time to get up. It's time to put your feet on the neck of your enemy. And if you're like, I don't know if I can, I've given you some motivation that says, if I don't let go of fear, I'm going to go to hell. And fear ain't worth going to hell over. It's time to step out. It's time to step in. It's time to go after whatever God has put on your life. It's time to give him all you got. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. The old timers used to say, let go and let God. Where's he going to take me? I don't know, but it's going to be good. What's he going to have me write in a book? I don't know, but it's going to be good. What's he going to have me say to that guy that I don't know? I don't know, but it's going to be good. What's going to happen if I give this $100 gas card to that person? Am I going to be able to get that new golf club? I don't know. But you know what I do know? It's going to be good. And maybe you had a $100 golf club in mind and Jesus has got a $1,000 golf club in mind. But if you're afraid to sow, you might not never know. And I can tell you what, it's he that has a generous eye, the Bible says, he will be blessed. What are you afraid of? Yourself? Others? Sickness, failure, rejection, embarrassment, the results. Let me help you out. The results are up to God. And there's a scripture in Psalms that says, what time I am afraid. So it's going to happen. I don't care who you are or how tough you are. It's going to happen. A king said it to God over and over in the Psalms. What time I am afraid, I will trust in you. When you're afraid, trust. Trust. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And don't lean on your own understanding. Because here's the deal. If you've committed your life to Jesus, you don't have a choice. You don't get to choose what you do with your life. Did you know that? When you gave your life to Jesus, am I saying that you're called to the pulpit? Absolutely not. I'm saying that your life is not your own. You've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. What I'm saying is your thoughts, your job, your family, your occupation, your destiny, what you do, what you don't do, what you watch, what you don't watch, it's not up to you anymore. It's up to Him. And I fear a lot of times the reason we are so powerless and the reason that we get pumped up on Sunday and then we have to come up again and do it again is because we're not really surrendered on the altar. If we'll live on the altar, let me tell you, He'll take care of the rest. There's a song by Keith Green. He says, just keep doing your best and pray that it's blessed. Jesus takes care of the rest. And let me encourage you, don't let fear keep you from giving Him everything. Let Him take you where He wants to take you. You thinking about moving? You thinking about buying? You thinking about starting a ministry? Pray about it. God is into the details. And He's my father in love, he says this all the time. He is either Lord of all or not at all. And we need to live lives that are constantly, Master, 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 should I do this? Master, do you want me to wear that? Master, do you want me to purchase this? Master, should I go here? Master, should I start this? Master, should I ask forgiveness? Master, should I say that? We need to live life for the Master. And if He's Master, that means He's the sovereign controller. And there's nothing to be afraid of about that. Because God, everything He does is good and out of love. You don't get to decide when, where, what. He's Lord and He's Master. And Psalm 23 says this, I will not fear. Why? Because You are with me. I will not fear when I go to the grocery store. I will not fear when I send my child to school. I will not fear when I retire. I will not fear when I go get in the car. I will not fear when I go to that mall. I will not fear when I go to testify to that person. I will not fear when I spend this extra money on the person's behind me food. I will not fear when I go get gas. I'm not going to fear when they give a negative news report. I will not fear when I step out in faith to do this ministry. I will not fear. Why? Why am I not going to fear all these things? Because You are with me. And this is just a little side note, but we were watching the documentary of the Roosevelts, and Theodore Roosevelt said of his father, he said, one of the best things that I loved about him, that I admired the most, is that he was fearless. What would you do? Who would you be if you walked out of here this morning with not an ounce of fear? That's His perfect will for you. In Joshua 10:24, it says, so it was when they brought out the five kings to Joshua, Joshua called for all the men of war, the captains who went with him. He said, come near, put your feet on the necks of these kings. And I want you to realize this morning that fear is your enemy, not your friend. And maybe you say, I know that. Well, then why, when you get home, when you think about ministering, when you think about witnessing, when you think about stepping out, you find yourself in a corner petting it like it's your dog? Because so often it's easy to say it in here because there's faith in here. The manifest presence of God's in the house of the Lord. And you've got people around you that believe the same thing. But if God says go, why are you saying, what if? God says, write a book. Fear says, what if? God says, do this. And you say, but what if? What if? What if? Fear says, what if? God just says, trust me. Trust me. Trust me. And you may think, it's just the smallest area. I'm scared to go up and talk to that other person in the church. God says, go. God says, go. God says, step out in faith, and I want you to, I want you to change jobs. And what if? What if? No, go, and He'll be with you, and it'll be better than you can imagine. God's will for you is to go get your enemies from where they're hiding, in your heart or in your mind, and He wants you to roll that stone away. and he wants you to go up, and he wants you to put your foot on their neck, and he wants you to slay them, and then he wants you to throw them back in the cave they were hiding in, and then he wants you to roll that stone away. So if you've got some fear this morning, I'm telling you what the Lord wants you to do. I'm telling you the will of God. It's in the Word of God. And not only that, the Lord gave me a confirmation, because all of a sudden I found a sheet of paper that said, memorize this scripture. And so I went to look at what it was. And it says, you will chase your enemies and they will fall by the sword before you. Five of you will chase 100. There's more than five in here. And 100 of you will put 10,000 to flight. Your enemies will fall by the sword before you, for I will look favorably on you. And there's a lot more good stuff right there. But that's the will of God, is for you to chase your enemies, not for him to cause you to hide in the cave. And that's what happens, is the enemy is attacking us, and all of a sudden we're running and we're hiding in the cave. And he's keeping us from our destiny. He's keeping us from our potential. He's keeping us from enjoying life. But God's will is that whatever your enemy is, right now this morning we're talking specifically about fear, is for you literally to go, no more. I'm putting my foot on the head of the enemy. You've been lying to me. You've been telling me, what if they don't like me? What if they hate me? What if they think I'm stupid? What if they think I'm ugly? What if I don't get a good report? What if they reject me? What if I fail? What if they don't want to hear the gospel? What if they spit in my face? What if that family member cuts me off? What if this happens? What if they die? What if they go to hell? All these different things he's saying to us, and he is a liar. And he's in the cave with you. You notice that? He's in the cave, but he wants you in the cave too. Why? Because he wants you to go to hell. And if he can't get you there, he don't want you to take anybody to heaven with you. But God has caused his church to rise up, to put your foot on the head of the enemy, to roll that stone away and say, okay, enemy that's been hiding in my thoughts, that's been hiding in my words, that's been hiding in my emotion, it's time for you to come out. I'm rolling that stone away. You ain't staying in here no more. I ain't listening to you no more. I'm putting my foot on your head and I'm slaying you right now. Then I'm going to throw you back in there and I'm going to cover you up, because then there's another stone that God wants to roll away. But first you got to get that enemy, and sometimes he fights your battles for you, but sometimes he's calling you to do it with him. And this is one of those times where God is saying, you got to do it. I'm going to help you by the sword of the Lord, because the word of God is the sword of the Lord. And he's saying, if you'll do that, I'm going to go to another house, and it's to the house of Mary and Martha, and they're coming and they're saying, Lazarus has been dead, and some of y'all been asleep. And some of you stink because you've been hiding in a grave, but God wants to come and show up on your scene. And Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. And he's going to come up after you put your foot on the neck of that enemy. And he's going to say, hey, roll that stone away. But they're going to stink. Roll it away, he's going to say. And he's going to say to you, come forth. I hadn't seen you in a while. Where you been? I have a great destiny on your life, a great calling on your life. I've got greatness inside of you, destiny in you, calling you to be an encouragement, calling you to strengthen your brethren, calling you to sow, calling you to be great and kind and gentle and loving to every person you come in contact with, calling you to be a person of strength. And maybe you're like Gideon saying, I can't do that. I need a time check because I will go way too long. 11:03, thank you. Maybe you're like Gideon. You've been thinking, yeah, I'm doing the work of God, but I'm going to hide over here and thresh this wheat. But God's showing up this morning to every person in this room, and he's saying, oh, you mighty man, mighty woman of valor, it's time for you to pray like you've never prayed before. It's time for you to dream like you've never dreamed before. It's time for you to not let that enemy lie to you anymore, or lie to your family, lie to your friends. It's time for you to go after Jesus in prayer and intercession like you have never done before. Maybe you've done it, but you thought it wasn't working. It's time to go after him because you are a mighty person of valor and God's not through with his church yet. Matter of fact, the tide has changed and the church is getting up and the church is rising up and the church is going to have the power of God being manifested once again in his house. And he's saying, I'm coming to your house and I'm saying, come forth. Come forth. Don't be afraid because you're going to slay fear. Don't fear. Come forth because fear is keeping you hidden. That's what it does. Did you know that? Fear, depression, anxiety, it keeps you hidden. It keeps you from pushing through. But I love this scripture. He says, by you, I will run through a troop. By my God, I will leap over a wall. And so whatever you've been battling, it's time to run through a troop. It's time to leap over a wall. Here's four keys to walk in victory over fear. Number one, obey the command. Listen to me. You're not going to feel like getting over fear. Do you know that? Because when you leave here, it's going to come talking. It's like forgiveness. People are like, I don't really feel like forgiving. Well, then you're in torment. That's what the Bible says. If you won't forgive, you're not forgiven, which means, I just keep talking about hell this morning. It wasn't really intended. But that's literally what it says, that if you don't forgive, listen to me, I've had to forgive a lot, and you're not ever going to feel like doing it. Guess what? Actually loving, you're not going to feel like it, but it's not an option. It's a command. Forgiveness, love, and not fearing, not being discouraged is a command. Why? Because it's for your benefit. He wants you to live victorious, successful, great lives in the kingdom of God. And sometimes I wish it was, sometimes it is quick. Sometimes he breaks it off immediately. But sometimes he says to you, obey the command. Don't fear. And when you feel that coming, you say, no, I'm not going to fear. I'm going to push through. Because here's a question, and I'm going to ask the ladies this. Is feelings your God or is he? Because a lot of times we're like, I feel anxious. I feel fearful. I feel worried. No. No, Jesus doesn't say follow your heart. He says the truth. He says I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life, not your feelings. Because if you speak according to your feelings, you'll speak according to lies. Because your feelings will lie to you. And he didn't call you. He'll use your feelings and he'll bless your feelings. He says I can be touched with the feelings of their infirmities. But he didn't call you to be led by them. He called you to be led by his word, and his word trumps all feelings. And if your feelings don't line up with the word, what I would say is you're lying, not you. Like if my feelings told me something, Madison, you need to be afraid with these gas prices. Madison, you need to be afraid about, what if you were, to die? The enemy will tell you stuff like that. What if somebody else has to raise my children? What if I don't do a good job parenting? What if I don't raise them right? What if they fail? What if they leave the Lord? That's fear. And I have to look at those things and I have to say, you are a liar and I will not listen to you. I will listen only to the truth that says, if I train my child in the way that they should go, when he is old, he won't depart from it. And I have to remember that I am in the shadow of the Almighty, and he's going to bear me up lest I dash my foot against a stone. And I'm going to tread on the serpent and the scorpion and over the young adder. And that's what we're going to do this morning. The second thing is guard your thoughts. Romans 12:2 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How you don't give in to fear is you got to transform your mind. I can break a generational curse. I can cast out a spirit of fear. But your mind has to be transformed. Because so many times we go through all these things, we come to the altar, and then we follow short in our thoughts because we've got thinking patterns that have been established for years. But you have got to be transformed. How? By the word of God. Number three, guard your tongue. Psalm 141:3, this is the Amplified version. It says, set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips to keep me from speaking thoughtlessly. Fear, you have what you say. And sometimes we're producing fear in our lives because we're not watching our tongue. And the last thing that I want to land on is number four. How to walk in victory over fear is fear the Lord. Proverbs 14:26. And that's why my sermon is entitled this morning, Fear Not, Only Fear. Proverbs 4:26. Are y'all getting this morning? Making sense? 4:26. Oh, 14:26. Whoops. I was like, oh no, that ain't right. In the fear of the Lord, there is strong confidence, and his children will have a place of refuge. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. So the opposite of fearing is having confidence, but not in yourself. It's in the fear of the Lord. I am confident in the fear of the Lord. My confidence only comes from the fact of reverencing him. Matthew 10:28 says, do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Jonathan Stockstill said this, there is no back door to wisdom. Do you know what the front door is? A lot of time we're like, Lord, give me wisdom. Lord, give me wisdom. The front door to wisdom is the fear of the Lord. What is the fear of the Lord? Proverbs 8:13 says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverse mouth I hate. The interesting thing to me, though, is that so many times as Christians, we're praying for blessing, 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 but we don't do the things that are attached to blessing because he literally gives, I couldn't even reach you. We don't have time for me to tell you all the blessings associated with the fear of the Lord, but I can tell you one, and it's Proverbs 8:18, and I'm getting ready to close. Riches and honor are with me, enduring riches and righteousness. Does anybody want any of that? And it's connected to, it says, I didn't even read you the part about the fear of the Lord. I'm going to have to turn there. Proverbs 8:18. Riches and honor. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. And then it goes down. And it's talking about the fear of the Lord and wisdom. But riches and honor, enduring riches come. And righteousness come with fearing God. And also he says, the fear of the Lord, it's enduring, enduring forever. It's clean. He said, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. What does that mean? This may sound like an old school message to you, but the fear of the Lord is forever. And also he says, wait on the Lord and you'll inherit the land. What I believe the Lord is doing this morning is trying to expose some enemies. Things that have held you back, ruined relationships or hindered your growth, robbed you of joy, robbed you of time and advancement, and is saying, come here and let's put our foot on the neck of the enemy this morning. Don't be afraid or discouraged because the Lord will do this to all your enemies. But I encourage you to not slay them and then run and hide because once you slay them, you got to keep advancing. And that is partly, I believe, a weakness of Christians is we want to slay and then we want to sit. we want to advance, and then we're like, nah, I'm good. Let's just hang out. Oh, man, that advancement, it was good. Man, that was a great victory. And then you've been on the couch for 5 months. No. It's time to advance some more. And so I want to encourage you this morning. I want to admonish you to not only not fear, but to fear the Lord. My encouragement is to not fear, but to trust in the Lord with all your heart. And you may say, well, this is a simple message. Yes, but it's got a strong consequence. Because if we don't stop letting fear rule our lives and our thoughts, we could end up in the very place that we don't want to be in. Because the Bible says that the way that leads to hell, it's so broad. It's so easy to get there. But it's narrow to get to heaven. He said, narrow is the way and straight is the gate. And so I'm warning you, I'm admonishing you, and I don't want you to waste any more time or miss out on anything else that God has for you, because fear is telling you something different than what God is saying. So if you would, stand to your feet and close your eyes. I believe that the Lord, there's a grace here this morning to set people free. God wants to roll back the stone of your enemies that have been hiding in your thoughts, hiding in your emotions and lying to you. And he wants to bring freedom this morning. And maybe you say, well, it's not fear. Maybe it's anxiety. Maybe it's frustration. I don't know what it may be, but I want to encourage you this morning to let go and let God. Just allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you this morning. Come, Holy Spirit, open our ears to hear your voice. I pray that you would speak to your people. I pray that we would not allow fear to keep us from responding. Lord, I pray that we would have the boldness to say, I don't want to allow an inch of fear. And I'll be the first to say that, you know what, sometimes fear's talking to me. And sometimes I'm listening to it. There's nothing to be embarrassed about. And one thing that bothers me is that for so long, the altar of God was hindered. We couldn't even go to the altar. If we would have been in the Old Testament, we couldn't even come before him. We couldn't even get close. But now the altar is like, well, I don't want to go because people might think this. What? That's fear. And so I want to encourage you this morning, if you, anything I've spoken, anything that I have said has touched your heart and said, you know what? I want the victory over that. Maybe it's not even fear. Maybe it's that you don't want to chase your enemies. You don't want to put your foot on the neck of the enemy. Maybe you're like, you know, I want God to do everything. But the Lord's calling you this morning to start fighting again. You fought before. Some of you have fought in intercession. And now you're scared to because you don't know what's going to happen. And so I just want to invite those of you that maybe this spoke to come to the altar. I'm going to pray over you. Come on down if this spoke to you at all. I'm going to just pray over you. There's nothing to fear, nothing to be afraid of. Don't fear. Don't be discouraged. I love the scripture in Isaiah. It's one of my life scriptures. It says, fear thou not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And I want to say this to those in the altar. Just receive this word. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure, his good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And the Lord is speaking that to somebody specifically right now. You think it's not his good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And fear is actually the one that's been telling you that. And I know that because it says, fear not, little flock. But I want to encourage you that whoever this is speaking to, it's God's will to give you the kingdom. And I just prophesy that into your heart right now. No longer will you be bound by fear that tells you he don't want to give it to you. He's got it for everybody else, but not for you. Everybody else can be freed. Everybody else can be healed. He's got signs and wonders and miracles for everybody else, but not for you. I rebuke that right now in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And I speak to you that no longer will you believe that lie, but I say that he's got the kingdom for you and you will walk in what God has for you. And I just speak right now, may the voice of the Spirit be stronger than the voice of the liar that tries to steal you and rob from you your destiny. And I speak the kingdom of God into your ears. May your ears be open to hear in a greater measure this morning. If you're not up here, just begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. If you've got tongues, go ahead and let's just pray. It builds up your most holy faith. I speak to those of you that it's been the fear of failure, and I say that you will not fail if God is on your side. You will not fail if God is on your side. If you're walking with Him, you cannot fail. So I say to the fear of failure, be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. He's called you to be a success. He's called you to be victorious. You will rise up. You will be a mighty warrior. I speak that. Maybe you say, no, I can't receive that. Well, I say, yes, you can in the name of Jesus Christ. And I declare that you are a warrior in the kingdom. You will not hide in the shadows anymore, but you will walk forth triumphantly. You will walk with the conqueror of all conquerors. And I speak, somebody's got some rejection and you're afraid of relationships because you are so afraid of being rejected. You've been hiding your personality for so long. You've been hiding in the cave, and I'm calling you forth this morning in the mighty name of Jesus. And I break the fear of rejection off of you right now in Jesus' name. The Bible says that you are accepted in the beloved. I just speak that. Let the wind of the Holy Ghost fill whoever is feeling that rejection. That is not your identity. That is not who you're called to be. You are accepted in Jesus. The past is the past. And I heard this. I'm going to have to just share this because I heard a message from Bishop Wallace, and he said, tell those that rejected you, thank you. That sounds weird. But God's going to turn it to your victory. And I did it, and I can tell you, I had forgiven my enemies, and I had forgiven people who had hurt me. But when I started saying thank you, I'll tell you what, I could start running around this building. I had a dream. I was running. And I'll tell you what, when I said thank you for rejecting me. Thank you for hating me. Thank you for talking bad about me. I started getting this joy rising up in my spirit because He said that what man has rejected you, it was the jealousy of God over your life. And I started realizing I've been rejected so much, God sure is jealous of me. And so I encourage you, those of you right now, if this is you, begin to thank the Lord for every time you were hurt. Thank Him for every time you were rejected, because let me tell you something the Lord showed me as I was praising Him one time. And I was saying, the Lord is my confidence, and I can't even remember the lyrics to the song, but all of a sudden I realized I had felt so rejected, I had felt so insecure, and then all of a sudden I was like, but God's made a way that I have nothing but confidence in Him and nothing in me. And I got excited again, because when you've been so down and on yourself, negative about yourself, hate, self-hatred, that's somebody right there, you hate yourself. And I'm just going to speak to that right now. I break self-hatred off every person in this room by the blood of Jesus Christ. And I speak over you that you are loved by God. You are the loved of God. I break every generational curse of self-hatred right now by the blood of Jesus Christ. And I say, you are beloved. You are beloved. You are beloved. Come on and receive that into your spirit. For those of you in the crowd, begin to pray for these people that are getting ministered to. God is doing a new thing. He's setting some things in order. He's about to make a way where there hadn't been a way. You've been feeling like you couldn't get your foot to going or your mouth to talking. And I can tell you right now, there is a grace here, and it's all changing today, because you're throwing your enemy back into that cave, and you're going to do it to all your enemies. And I pray that right now. I pray the power of might over every single person in this altar, that what has been defeating them, they're going to start defeating. And I just say that right now. You about to start chasing your enemies. They're about to start tucking tail and running. I break the fear of rejection right now. No more hatred. Don't you think that way anymore. Don't allow the devil to lie to you. I even want you to start saying, I love myself. And somebody might say, well, I don't know if that's scriptural. But the Bible says that you should love your neighbor as you love yourself. And if you're mean to you, you're going to be mean to them. But not anymore. Because you're going to love yourself. so much, and you're going to be loving them. You're people that don't like you and that you've had a hard time talking to, all of a sudden there's going to come a hug over you, and you're going to be like, I want to go and love on them. I want to go and bless them. And I just speak right now that what has been frustration and what has been struggle is about to turn into ease. You're about to easily love them. You're about to easily love yourself. No longer are you going to be bound by that self-hatred any longer. And condemnation, there's some you've been condemning yourself. There's some people in here. You love God with all your heart, but you're walking in condemnation. You're always beating yourself down. I'm not good enough. I can't do it right. I don't know enough scriptures. And I just say right now, self-condemnation, you are not allowed here in Jesus' name. I say that you are accepted in the Beloved. And he said, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. So I speak that right now. Come on and receive it. You aren't condemned by the Lord. You aren't condemned by the Lord. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Sweet Spirit of God. I pray that you would minister to every heart, whether they're in the altar or not. And I pray right now that you would seal it. Fill them. You've broken lots off, Lord. And you've been so generous and kind to us. And now I ask that you would fill this morning. And I want to encourage you, if you feel comfortable, if you have a family member up here, just come lay your hand on their back and just pray for them to be filled. And our Pastor Bonnie, Pastor Lauren, if you would, anyone that doesn't have someone, Pastor Jeff, Pastor Crystal, deacons, anyone that needs someone, a hand on their shoulder, just very gently. We're just asking that what's been broken would now be filled. I pray right now over every single person that's in this altar that you would fill them. God, I pray that you would come and fill every heart. Miss Beth, would you come pray right here for this lady? Thank you. I pray for a fresh filling. I speak acceptance. I speak no condemnation. I speak destiny and self-love, that you are love. You are the Beloved of the Lord. I speak faith where there has been fear. Faith and trust right now, fresh feeling. Oh, Jesus, I pray just acceptance. Let a wave of acceptance fill this vessel right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Move out all hurt. Move out all anger. Move out all sorrow. Let sorrow come out in the name of Jesus. I pray feeling of joy, joy to overflow, awakening, freshness. Come, Holy Spirit, joy of the Lord. I speak boldness. I pray the spirit of might over Frankie right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Fill him with the might of God. Make him a mighty lion. I pray when the devil comes like a lion, he'd turn around and roar back like the lion of the tribe of Judah, and that might would rise up inside of him like he's never experienced or encountered in any time in his life. God, I pray right now, the lion of the tribe of Judah, I speak praise. Praise, praise, and I speak praise over this family right now. Praise, a spirit of praise to fill their home. God, I pray it would be glorious praise. I would pray it would be awakening praise, reviving praise, rejoicing praise. Let depression go in the name of Jesus. Let sadness go in the name of Jesus. And I pray over every person a fresh feeling of the fear of the Lord, and not just these people, over this whole house. I ask, let the fear of the Lord sweep in this place. Let the spirit of holiness fill this house. God, we want your fear more than we want anything else. And I pray that we would obey the fear of God and not the fear of man. For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. And I say that we want to serve you here at the Well Fort Payne. Make us fearful. Make us people that fear you above all. God, I pray that never again would we bow our knee to the fear of man or the fear of the enemy, but only to the fear of the Lord. God, make it true. I pray that it wouldn't just be a word nor an altar call, but it would be set in stone. And that when we walk out, we're filled with a holy boldness to live it out, to take those steps of faith, to say no when fear says what if, when the fear says you're not, and we just remind him of what the word says. We just remind him what the word says, because that's what Jesus did in the garden. He said, nuh-uh, no. The word says, and I pray that over us. May we truly be people of the word, not people of religion, not people of the church, not just people that come and go, but may we be people of the word, because the word of the Lord endures forever. The word of the Lord revives. The word of the Lord is Jesus, and may we be people, as we're called Christians, because it means little Christ. So may we be. I pray that we would go out with the anointing, breaking the yokes of bondage off of other people's lives. We give you all the glory, Lord, because there's none like you, Lord. None who can deliver. None who can free. None who can heal. None who can cleanse us from our sins. None who can keep us on the straight and narrow. None who can redeem the past. Only you, Jesus. And we just say, Father, Jesus, Holy Spirit, we love you. We long for you. And we want to walk with you closer and closer and closer and closer. So come, Lord Jesus, lead us every step of the way. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, thank you all for coming out this morning. I hope that the worship, the fellowship, the ministry time ministered to you. I'm just going to pray a simple blessing to release you. Thank you for your attentiveness. And if you would like to raise your hands and receive it, you can. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May he lift up his countenance upon you. And may he write his name all over you. And may he fill you with shalom, shalom, which drives out all chaos. And may you walk with God this week in a way like you never have before. And I just pray right now, a spiritual opportunity, an open door to evangelize to somebody this week. Somebody, you need to tell Jesus to somebody. And I'm praying not just that you try to shove it, but that it would be a divine door from God. And I bless you this morning in the name above all names, in the name of Jesus the Christ. Amen. Have a good week.